Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Do you really know how to manage your money? Well, we've covered the very basics in the last few weeks, and now we're looking out at how you can protect what you have, lock it down, so to speak. Paul Merriman joins us in studio with lots of common sense tips. How are you, Paul?
I'm great, thank you. You?
Good, great. Yeah, it's sunny, it's wonderful.
Very sunny, yeah.
You're about to critique our finances.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Not that was something that's not that probably of a sunny conversation, which is what should you do should something go wrong? So what type of protection products do you need in the marketplace? I think this is really important because over the last few weeks we've discussed, you know, current accounts, overdrafts, how to split your money up, how to spend it if you're in a relationship, and loads of really good topics.
Mm-hmm.
So over the next few weeks, we're going to move into, you know, how to enhance your money with like tax relief, investment, market growth. But before we do that, we want to talk about protecting what you have, because this is actually the second phase of a really good financial plan. So first is the basics of how to manage your money, and this is what happens should something go wrong. And unfortunately, like if you take a average maybe 18 to 21 year old leaving school or college,
yeah,
by the time they get to 65 years of age, which is typical retirement age, something will possibly go wrong. So it can be something as big as, you know, a very bad sickness or an illness, or God forbid, somebody passing away, and something as small as, you know, needing that emergency fund to go to should something go wrong in the short term, like a car breaking down or something. So it's,
yes,
it's really important you kind of cover these off.
And you were making the point in our chat during the break, Paul, and I think it's a good one. You know, you can have your credit cards and your salary and your basics covered, yeah, off, I suppose, and then people can go from there jumping into investments and pensions.
Exactly.
But the middle ground here,
yeah,
is locking down what you have.
Yeah, should something go wrong.
Yeah.
Just making sure you protect yourself. And I'll give you a quick example. A lot of people come in for consultations looking to start a pension, which is great, or start an investment account for the kids. All these things are really proactive. But if you're, let's say, 40 years of age and you're putting a pension plan together for the first time, you can't access that pension until 60. So if something goes, yeah, wrong in the next few months or the next few years, there's no point in having a financial planner that's put a pension plan in place for you without talking about the likes of income protection or making sure your emergency funds and your short-term cash is there. Because otherwise, what's the point? I mean, you have thousands in the pension plans you can't access for 20 years, but you could be on social welfare benefit alone for the next 20 years should you not have something in place.
Yes. So is it income protection we're,
yeah,
going to first?
The biggest thing here is income protection. I think it's the most important financial product out there. It's well above the pension,
really?
The investment account. It's 100%. And it costs a really small amount of money. You get tax relief on the premiums as well. So you look at it, if you go off on a long-term sick or illness and you don't have income protection and work now, just to say for listeners to check, a lot of employers out there will have income protection in place for their staff.
Okay.
And especially if you have a company pension plan, you'd usually see the company pension plan, income protection, and then what's called debt and service, like life cover attached. So they're the usual benefits you'll find in a really good company, I suppose. But a lot
so
of
that's
employers,
worth checking if you have it, first of all, because,
yeah,
you may well.
Yeah. Now, just to kind of caveat this, if you're self-employed,
you won't.
You'll know whether you have it or not yourself.
Yeah.
So you probably won't have it. So it's important to get it in place. And it's basically there to cover you should you be out of work for an accident, sickness or an illness for a long period of time. You usually have to be out of work for about 3 months before these types of policies kick in. But they cover you for up to 75% of your salary right up until retirement age. And the premium fluctuates depending on whether you say you want the premium to go or the benefit to go to 60, 65 or 70 for argument's sake. So there's loads of ways to bring the premium down. But roughly for about 25, 30K worth of cover for someone in their 40s up to 60 years of age, it's only going to cost after tax about 46 euro. So just over a tenner a week.
Yeah.
And to have that level of security, to have, you know, that kind of 25 to 30K in place and then the state benefit on top of that about 13K. That means you're probably going to be able to cover your mortgage, your rent and a few bills without being really just on the social welfare benefit alone.
And it's the peace of mind it brings.
It's the peace of mind. And I think a lot of people don't know how to go about it. Get the quotation, what it covers. There's various
and
things.
And do you naturally go to your own bank that you're already comfortable with? I know
definitely
you're going
to
tell
go
us,
to
shop around.
Yeah, definitely don't go to a bank. And the problem with the banks is the banks are tied to just one typical life insurance company. So you're better off going to a broker, better off going to somebody that has all the agencies to find the best policy for you.
Okay.
And people, it depends on what your occupation is. So whether you are you know, if you're at a desk all day, it's going to be cheaper to cover. If you're someone working on a building site, say, as a carpenter. So
higher risk.
Yeah, higher risk. Depends on what your smoker status is, depends on your age, obviously, and the amount of income you want protected. But I would categorically say that is the most important protection cover you can actually have. Because like I said, when it looks like a life cover even, no disrespect when I say this, when a life policy kicks in, you're not here to worry about it because you've passed away.
Yeah.
But when you're obviously, you're in an income protection claim, you're still alive and you're still trying, especially if you have kids and you have mortgages,
and Paul, if you work for yourself, I assume you start a new income protection
policy,
policy, it comes out of your own business account.
Yes, exactly. And you can do this. So there's, this is the same for company owners. So if you have a limited company structure, you can take one out. If you're self-employed, you can take a policy out and it gets paid out through the business. And it's tax deductible. So it comes off the tax every year. So again, really affordable, really pragmatic policy to put in place.
Yeah.
And I always say this, like, I find when we're doing financial planning consultations for people, they will always be thinking about, you know, making money and the investments and the pensions, etc. But you find some of these people might have pet insurance and they haven't even insured their own income. So you're kind of going, like, if you're going to insure
That's
your
such
cat or
a good
your dog,
point, isn't it?
Like, you know, just in case
we haven't
you're
ourselves.
Scared about the vet bill.
Yeah.
What about protecting yourself and making sure that something's in place should something go wrong in your life? And it's so small compared to a percentage of your overall income, usually well less than 1% or 0.5% of your overall take-home pay.
And this is separate to health insurance, Paul, where 100%. That will cover your medical bills, obviously, but it won't pay your salary.
No, it won't pay your salary. Now, health insurance, I think, is vitally important, but not as important as this, because, you know, again, if your income stops, you're really in trouble. Like, health insurance will only protect you when you're in hospital and it's paying the bills. But when you get out, and especially something really, really seriously wrong happen. So I think it's really important. And then following on from the income protection piece, it's the kind of, if something really happens, really goes wrong, which is like obviously a death, someone dying well before they're expected to. And again, if you look at the likes of the widow's pension that's in place, it's now called the bereaved partners, to take into consideration cohabitating couples that aren't married.
Okay.
Because they previously didn't get anything. So that's a really good change from the revenue in the government.
That's a real move forward, isn't it?
It is a real move forward, in fairness. But it, just to say, there's a caveat out there. If you're cohabitating with somebody and you have children, you must have been in that situation for 2 years in order to qualify.
Okay.
And if you don't have children, you have to be in that situation for 5 years. So if you're living with somebody and you don't have kids.
Is this the common law wife or husband
thing? Yeah, exactly.
Thing?
Yeah. Okay. Or sorry, yeah, cohabitating as well as the common law. So it's just if you're cohabitating with somebody living and not married yet. So again, they're two really good changes, I suppose. But again, you're looking at maybe 12,000 to 13,000 per annum. And if you've got children, I mean, there's like, it's such a hardship for people when things go wrong. Again, check, your employer might have what's called debt and service in place. You might be covered already. Typically speaking, people with young children want to have a policy for at least the next 20 years till the kids get to, you know, adulthood, out of college. And again, a premium for $500,000 to cover for someone 40 years of age for 20 years, non-smoker, it's going to cost about 44, 46 euro a month. So again, you're getting down to, you know, really low kind of premium to have $500,000 to cover in place should something go wrong. Now, again, this isn't about trying to sell an income protection product or a policy, but these are things that people need to know that should be in place in order to protect their overall financial plan. Because again, there's no point in, especially if you have children, there's no point in having 20,000 in the pension by the end of this year. That's going to do nothing on a payout for somebody, especially if you're renting. The good thing about if you have a mortgage in the country is that you're legally required to have, you must have, the banks will make you have, rather, a mortgage protection policy.
Yes.
And that means if you
so
pass
you have
away.
To get, you have to take that when you take the mortgage, don't
but
you?
But if you're renting, you don't have it more than likely. You won't have it. Some people that are renting, especially if you have children, probably don't have sufficient cover. And if they, if something was to pass away to one of the parents, especially if there's children involved, the rent needs to be paid the next month, the following month, and the following month. Where at least with the mortgage protection, if you have a mortgage, the mortgage is, you know,
cleared.
Typically cleared off, paid off. So the family are in kind of a much better financial situation. So they are important to think about.
Someone's just texted in here, Paul, to say, I can't recommend income protection enough. I was out of work and I swear you can't beat it. I have five children and the peace of mind was unreal.
It's
you can plan. You can't plan.
No, you can't plan. And look, if you use that, what I said earlier on about going from 18 to 65 years of age, the likelihood of something going wrong in a family, unfortunately, is, you know, it's high.
Yeah.
And we all know some is being, you know, touched, whether it's a cancer diagnosis or a heart attack, etc. Especially as people move into their kind of 40s, 50s and 60s. So trying to get the premium when you're, the premium is also guaranteed. So you don't get the premiums, the better it is, because you're going to be paying a lower premium because you're less risk, obviously, to the company. So yeah, I think, and we've seen loads of examples of people in income protection saying they'd be absolutely, and the last thing you want in a health crisis is a financial crisis on it. So I mean,
you've enough to be dealing with. I completely agree with you. Yeah. And you often hear that it's both at the same time.
100%.
Just very briefly, the other things that we should have in place, Paul.
Yeah, okay. The big one here is going to talk about next is inheritance tax. We're talking about protecting. You're trying to protect yourself against things going wrong, but you're also trying to protect yourself against the revenue commissioners. So inheritance tax, I think, is the worst type of tax. I don't particularly like any of the taxes.
No, but it is. It's cruel, actually.
It's just really
people have worked their whole lives, paid their taxes.
Yeah. And they've taken the assets on their after-tax income as well. It's ridiculous. So yeah, you can put in protection kind of plays. You have different strategies you can use for clients. It won't be something as simple as a small gifts exemption where you can give your children up to 3,000 per parent. So that's 6,000 per year. You can also put in what's called a Section 72 whole of life policy. And that's like an insurance product. So it's a life insurance policy that doesn't form part of the estate when calculating inheritance tax. So most people will use that money from the life insurance to clear the inheritance tax bill. It's a Section 72 policy. There's three providers in Ireland. Typically you're going to see Zurich Irish Life and Royal London. The Royal London product is far superior, has way more benefits in it. So again, some of the older style contracts would have been quite limited to what they offer in the additional benefits. So I would always say, if you have, especially if you've got one child, especially if you're around Dublin, right, in major cities where property prices are going now, the threshold is only €400,000. So anything above that is going to be taxed at 33%. So you need to put strategies in place and get a financial plan to protect yourself, not only for sickness or, God forbid, debt, but also, unfortunately, from the revenue commissioners.
Paul, I have to tell you, it's a big reaction on inheritance wills. Someone says, I was paying into a policy for 26 years to cover death and critical illness. A dozen times I was going to cancel the critical illness payment for financial reasons, but I kept it. And this year I was diagnosed with cancer and I'll be out of work for 6 months. So I got a payout. I would highly recommend it. It's people who are living and breathing
living and breathing it, yeah.
And they know the benefit.
Yeah, and unfortunately you only see the benefit something's gone wrong as well. So I'm sorry to hear about that listener's experience.
Absolutely.
And, to claim it, but at least,
and
at
thank
least
you for
there.
Sharing that, because it's a lesson for everyone else and we wish you well. Paul, huge reaction. We're going to have to come back to it.
Yeah, we'll cover it again maybe next week, inheritance tax in particular.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent.
Thank you so much.
Thanks,
Where do people get the info, Paul?
AskPaul.ie, and you go over there and book in for, you know, if you want an income protection quotation or any more advice around those protection benefits, please feel free to reach out.
A wealth of knowledge, as always.
Thank you, Paul Merriman.
Thank you very much.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.